Hey there, and welcome to She Plays the Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley, and I'm here to give you the latest and greatest on all things in the U.S. women's sports world. We're talking WNBA, NWSL, MPF, NWHL, and all the professional leagues that we've got here in the United States. She Plays is a fantasy sports platform for U.S. women's leagues, and our podcast is to help you get to know leagues and athletes better, as well as give you some expert tips every now and then for our games. All of this is part of our mission to give a platform and raise more awareness for the women's side of the sports industry and to give them the greater attention that they are due. Join us on the journey. Thanks for tuning in. All right, everyone. Welcome to She Plays the Podcast. I'm joined today by Jen Cooper, who is a host of the Mixed Zone podcast, as well as a walking WOSO encyclopedia and NWSL analyst. Thanks so much, Jen, for joining the podcast.
Always happy to talk soccer. You know, sometimes I just can't shut up when it comes to women's soccer.
Same. Yeah. Real quick question. Have you watched it since you were younger? Like, have you been a big U.S. soccer fan for a long time, or when did you really get into it?
That is a really good question, Ashley, and it's not one I get very much anymore. I'm often mistaken for someone who played collegiately, which I really get a kick out of because, no, there was no varsity soccer at my college at the time, and there wasn't varsity soccer at my high school. I grew up as a competitive swimmer and triathlete. Got a little exposure to just, you know, recreational soccer when I was at college, and after I graduated, some friends of mine who had been lifetime soccer players, they're starting a women's team. They're like, hey, you want to play? I'm like, sure. And I have to say, I hated it and I sucked and I skipped practices and I would sleep in on Sundays so I didn't have to go to a game. And then, and this really dates me, but then I saw the 1994 World Cup and that changed everything. I fell in love with the Swedish goalkeeper, Thomas Ravelli. He was freaking amazing. And I went to my rec team and said, I want to be Thomas Ravelli. And our goalkeeper, she was heading off to grad school. And so I became goalkeeper and that changed my life. I fell in love with the sport. I felt like I had the best seat in the house. So I learned the game in a way that I hadn't understood it before. I started becoming the one who was first to practice, first to games, never missed a game. Became our team rep, going to league meetings, started to volunteer for stuff at the league, ended up being president for 5 years. Wow. And as that started unfolding, at the same time, I was working at my alma mater, and they added women's varsity soccer. And the first season of their women's varsity soccer was also the first season of the WSA. So my cup was running over. It was freaking awesome. At that point, I had gone to the Women's World Cup in 99. I saw a couple of games. You know, the U.S. women came to Houston in 2000. That was my first time, you know, to see him in a friendly, you know, and started traveling regularly after that. And it just, that was the beginning of addiction that's never abated. And then at the end of 2005, we suddenly had MLS in Houston. And then 7 years ago, we suddenly had Houston Dash. You know, it only took, let's see, from the 99 World Cup to the end of 2013 for me to finally get a women's team in my hometown. Not too bad. 14 years.
Not too bad, yeah.
Yeah. So I always get a kick out of when people say, oh, did you grow up playing? Have you always been, you know, and it's like, no, this is not something that I grew up with, especially that all the sports I played growing up with were not team sports. Like I said, swimming, triathlon, some tennis. So adjusting to soccer when I was first playing was really, really difficult. But it kind of became my sanctuary. And then intellectually, one of the reasons I like soccer is that I can never learn it all. You know, I tell people that are more American football fans, I'm like, imagine if there were an NFL in every country in the world, plus national teams.
Yeah.
I was like, you're already so into NFL with just 32 teams. Like, imagine if it was the whole world. And so as, you know, people who know me and follow me already know, I'm so into the stats, right? And learning and finding out history and reporting the history. And I feel like there will never be an end to what I can learn and track about it.
I love that. I think that's such a cool way to think about it too. You're right. Like, imagine if it was
on different continents and with different cultures. I just think that's so neat to even think about how much there is.
And I remember seeing during the 2018 World Cup, I think FIFA had tweeted something like, you know, what part of soccer changed your life? And so I tweeted, watching Thomas Ravelli play changed my life. And I added Thomas Ravelli. So he replied with a smiley face.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
I know.
It is insane how reachable athletes are these days. It's nuts. Which is such a big part of women's soccer too, that accessibility. But so yeah, so Houston Dash came 2013, and you've been involved in various ways with the league. Want to go through a brief history of that, and then let's dive into the draft that's coming up January 13th. I'd love to hear kind of your history with the league draft.
Sure. So the first season of the Dash, as they were leading into 2014, of course, you know, they were looking for someone to be play-by-play and analyst, because that's back when the teams were doing their own broadcasts on YouTube. And Sebastian Salazar, who, you know, now works for ESPN, I think some U.S. fans might recognize his voice, if not his name. He was the sideline reporter for the Houston Dynamo at the time, and he knew me because I worked Dynamo games, and he knew what I knew about women's soccer. So he was working on getting the play-by-play gig and put my name out there as, he's like, hey, she's legit. She'll make me look smarter. And I had been doing a radio show for a couple of years, a soccer radio show in Houston. So at least I could say I had some experience, you know, talking live. So, you know, without Sebastian's recommendation and really his help that year, kind of getting over the fear of what if I say something wrong? What if I say something stupid? What if I say something as silly as Ali Krieger is a little knocked up, which I did once, but you know, like you get over, you know, get over that. It's like, there's no better way to get good at talking live than to just talk live, right? There's only so much practice. It's kind of like playing soccer. It's the game experience that makes you better. So I was the analyst for the Dash for 2014, 2015, 2016. And for 2015, for the draft, so that was the first draft I attended. That one was in Philadelphia. And, you know, I figured, I was like, there's got to be a way that I can share this with fans. And I had used the Mixlr app to like broadcast a few Dash preseason games, right, where there wasn't any kind of broadcast, but just doing audio. So I reached out to League PR and said, you know, do you mind if I do this from the draft floor, you know, just saying, hey, this is the next pick, and this is, you know, here's something about this player. And they said, sure, we don't have any plans to do that. You know, as long as it doesn't eat up a lot of bandwidth, that's fine. So I sat there for 4 hours with my pal, Hal Kaiser, who was helping Keeper Notes at the time, just like the two of us talking for nearly 4 hours about these picks. It was a little crazy, especially when there's so many college players, it's really hard to do a lot of that research and not having done something like that before. But it was satisfying too that there was listeners, right? There were more than 500 people listening at one point. And it was nice to be able to share that with the league. It's like, people want this content. So I was so excited the following year when I reached out to the league and said, hey, I'd like to, you know, do the broadcast again. I might pay for an IBSN line, whatever the phrase is. But they said, actually, we're going to do a video broadcast this year, and we'd like you to be a part of it.
Awesome.
So 2016 was the first year that there was a video broadcast of the NWSL draft. It was me and my friend Jonathan Yardley, someone else who is now calling games for ESPN, and actually, incidentally, was one of my students back when I worked at Rice University. I was the advisor to the student newspaper, and he was a sports editor, and he had a Metro Stars screensaver on his computer, so we ended up talking. So it was really great because he had called a lot of college soccer. He had worked MLS drafts before, so he knew how to run the draft. I knew a lot of stuff about the league and the players, and he knew what I knew and what I didn't know. So he was really good at like pointing me in different directions, right? The challenging thing about that draft is we didn't really have you know, video footage or a lot of breakaways or a lot of graphics. So it was us, mostly us, for almost 4 hours with no bio breaks, no ads, you know, just talking. I slept so well that night, maybe 15 hours. It felt so good. But having done that, like when you finish it, you're like, wow, if I can do that, this other stuff's easy, you know? And it's been so great since then to see the investment, how it's really grown into the production of Endocell Elements. So the following year, you know, we had the announcement of the A&E deal, and that's when I stopped calling games as much and started working on kind of the internal side, kind of editorial director is the best description for it, prepping the notes for all the people, calling the games, and maintaining league-wide stats and historical angles. And, you know, if I'm listening to a game that I'm not calling, texting that announcer and saying, hey, if so-and-so does this, it'll be the first time in league history that blah, 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 you know, so
cool
stuff that they wouldn't necessarily have at their fingertips, right? And that's been so fascinating and fun to see that behind the scenes part of all the pieces that go together, because we're all great critics, right? You know, I include myself in that. I'm someone that's complained for years about announcers and, you know, why are they saying that? And couldn't they do this better? And it's interesting to see behind the scenes, realize like, oh, that's why, or no, that person really is making the wrong decision. But I've enjoyed it so much, just getting to see all those pieces of it. And then, of course, as a longtime kind of women's soccer junkie and fan, getting to work with players that I had watched play, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Julie Foudy was part of our crew for some of the NWSL games on Lifetime. I do a lot of work with Lori Lindsay and Jordan Angeli. And, you know, I've met a few other former NWSL players that I wouldn't have met normally, right, through Houston. So it's kind of funny where I feel like the dork that's like, hey, you had 3 goals that last season, way to go. And just look at me like, why do you know that? But that when I did some stat work for, was it, can't remember if it was She Believes or it must have been CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. And Heather O'Reilly was on the crew, and she had not met me in person. She didn't know what I looked like, but like I had emailed her with information. So when I went to the stadium and I saw her and I realized like she's not going to know what I look like, I said, hey, Heather, I'm your nerd. like that's what came out of my mouth. I was like, well, I could have said that better. But
that's funny.
She totally knew what I was trying to say. But the back to the draft. So we've had basically, you know, full blown professional style draft since 2017 in terms of a reporter who's on the draft floor, right? And video highlights and breaks and interviews. 2017 was so much fun because since we were in LA and they had the US camp and the U23 camp there at the same time, there were so many more players available to be at the draft. You know, and that meant we could interview the draft picks at the front, and we even had Jill Ellis there. And of course, in each year, up until this year, of course, we've been wherever the United Soccer Coaches Convention is.
Okay.
So it's part of the whole convention thing. And what I love about going to the convention, and I'm really going to miss not having an in-person convention this year, is you're walking around and you randomly walk by like, oh, that guy played in the World Cup. Oh, she played in the Olympics. Hey, that's Anson Dorrance. Hey, that's Amanda Cromwell. Just, you know, that they're all in one place at one time, which means like the guests that we could interview for the draft broadcasts that's gone on has just been really fun, that they've been able to get some really good people. But it's such an elaborate production. It seems like the simplest thing, right? Because, okay, the teams are all at a table and they have a few minutes and they give a pick and commissioner walks up and announces the pick. But when you think about what the team has to do to decide who they want, right? You know, you got to make sure it's somebody that wants to come to where you are. You can't just look at her stats and a few highlights, right? Because highlights are only going to show you the good stuff. You know, what the coaches want to know is how is she going to handle it when she's no longer the star of her team, you know, when she's no longer starting, when the season is longer, when she's maybe living away from home and alone for the first time, right? Not in a dorm, not in a situation where, you know, someone's looking out for you more, right? you also got to think about what's the value of this pick now compared to what the value of it would be later, right? In terms of, hey, there, I heard this player wants to move cities. Maybe it's worth me giving up these picks to get this player that I know that can play now, as opposed to, well, I needed to develop some depth. You know, that we're going into an Olympic year, knock on wood, and we know there's a window where national teamers will be gone. So the people that normally don't get to play as much or play at all will have more minutes, right? So there's a great development opportunity. Kind of like what we saw this fall with the fall series, right? But, you know, the teams that had players on loan, they had short-term contract players, and some of those players played their way into longer contracts. You know, so you've got the coach and the teams and that side. And then you have what we're doing on the broadcast, where you think about someone gets picked, name gets called, boom, there's a graphic and a video. Well, those don't materialize out of thin air, right? Like, all of that has to be tracked down in advance. You know, somebody had to create those graphics, proof them. They've got to be set up in such a way that when whoever gets picked, you can pull up the right graphic immediately. And then, of course, there's always the challenge of, are we saying the player's name correctly? And that always seems like it should be the easiest thing. And it still kills me that it's not. It cracks me up that I found even some players, the way their name is pronounced on their college broadcast, I found is not how they pronounce their own name.
Oh, that's not good, because we do a podcast where that's sometimes the only reference we have. You know, like, I'm the same way. I scramble to find pronunciations on YouTube or whatever. And oh, that's not
now,
good.
Now, some college sites are so good and they have that little ear icon and you just click on the ear icon and it's the player saying her own name. That's how it should be. There's no reason in this day and age that we shouldn't be able to get that everywhere, right? But every now and then I run into a little quirk, like Mikella Baum got drafted by Sky Blue. I think that was 2017 or 2018. As soon as I called her name on the broadcast, I get a text from a fellow broadcaster saying, "Yo, it's not a bomb, it's a bam," because that's what she had said on the broadcast. And I texted her back. I said, "That's not what her mother told me." and she goes, "You win."
That's funny.
Like, yeah. So it's just like, I think her school had just decided, hey, we're going to do a BAM, right? And she never corrected them, right? Like maybe she didn't care.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure, so I asked the parents, because they lived in Houston, and they're like, oh, it's a bomb. I'm like,
That's funny.
Good to know, right? And then we've got a lot more potential foreign draftees this year.
Yeah, you're right.
Than we've had in the past. And, you know, you never know how much international flavor to add to a name sometime, right? Like, I've made assumptions about pronunciations where it's like, hey, I learned French. Wouldn't you pronounce it like that? No, it's actually like this.
You know, this is so funny. I just had this moment with, it's either Angelina or Angelina from Brazil, that I again went to YouTube to try to find a pronunciation. And there was, they never said her name in all the video highlights. And I'm like, oh gosh, I just got to go with my gut. But yeah, you want to be, you know, you feel like not a great journalist if you don't get the pronunciation right.
And she hasn't been capped for Brazil, so that wouldn't be on there. And yeah, I remember one time getting frustrated that I couldn't confirm the Norwegian who was playing with Boston. What was her name? It was spelled Emily. Oh, Emily Havi. Because I found it both ways. I found it Emily and Amelia.
Interesting.
And I found both ways on the Boston website.
Oh gosh.
But what had happened is she had corrected them how she wanted her name, but they had fixed it in one page and not in another.
Oh man.
Right? Because I had seen, it was during a Boston broadcast, and I saw some fans complaining about the pronunciation. I reached out to the broadcaster and I said, oh, I thought it's this. He goes, I looked up on the website, it's this. So this poor broadcaster had actually done the research only to find the wrong info the club hadn't updated, right? So long story short, I feel like technologically, you know, we're kind of behind. And like I said, I love those colleges that have the player saying her own name. So just click on the little ear icon, you can hear how it's said, right?
Yeah.
No questions asked. And also, like, the preferred name, right? Like, last year, Ali Watt gets drafted, and they said Alejandra Watts, because obviously the paperwork they have is her full first name, right?
Right.
But nobody calls her that, right? Like, I want to know, okay, sure, here's this, you know, sure, her name is Alexandra Krieger, but we all know her as Allie Krieger.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't know, what's her preferred name? What is she used to being called? Or if there's any name changes, a couple of times, it's very rare, a couple of times you have a player that gets married right as they're finishing college. Right? You know, so it's those things. And it seems like it's the littlest thing, but as you've seen, when you do something wrong like that, it makes you look dumb. It makes the league look dumb, where if you do it right, nobody notices it at all. And that's so much what live TV and even live radio is about, that if, you know, if you're doing everything right, nobody notices. The second you do something wrong, it really stands out. So it's all about that attention to detail. And think about every trade that happens, especially as we get close to the draft, it adjusts the draft order. You got to make sure it's like, okay, did all those changes get made correctly, or all the, so many details. And then you talk about, like, poor, you know, Lori Lindsay and Jordan Angeli and all the research that they do about these players. They do a different kind of research than I do, right? Like, I'm more like the history stats, what's the team's roster like right now. They're much more qualified to talk really technically about these players, right? And it's such a huge pool of players, it can be intimidating. You know, where do I start? So you kind of just say, okay, I got to start with the cream of the crop and get as far down as I can, but there's no way I'm going to be able to research everybody, right? It's just, yeah.
Not possible. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful it's only 40 picks, right?
Yeah.
We can't go too crazy.
But the list can be super long, and I know there is so much in the prep of it, which is what I love this perspective of it. Cause again, I feel like we tune in and it's well done, and then we leave and it's like, that was great. A great 2 hours. It's like, no, this has probably been for months. So I'm curious, what does it look like a month out? And then what does it look like the week of, and then like the night before? What's going on? Like, what are you specifically doing in those timelines?
Well, I have to say, having done it several years now, I don't stress nearly as much as I used to, where it would really put me in panic mode and I wouldn't be able to sleep
very well.
But one of the things that Jonathan Yardley told me the first year, and this was really helpful, you know, he's like, bottom line, it's better that you're rested and you know fewer players than you stayed up all night and know more players.
That is good advice.
He's like, you need to be alert, you need to be rested. And I also have to say that as our production quality has improved so much, it's meant that there's less pressure on us to fill time, right? Because the more players we've had at the draft to go up and speak at the podium, right? It's more about that. Having Jordan on the draft floor these last few years so that she could talk to players who've just been picked, you know, makes it really fun. You know, being able to be at the conventions where different college coaches and former players are there, we can bring them up on stage to talk to. Now, of course, this year is going to be really different because, you know, the convention's not in person, so we're not part of the convention. So we're doing a, you know, basically we're all be in the studio together. We're going to be doing it from Florida, where we usually do the broadcasts. Any players that get picked and are available to chat, well, then they would be zooming in. All of the teams will be zooming in from their home bases, right? So there won't be a draft floor, right? So I think that could create some interesting hiccups if two teams are working on a trade or the league needs to check something before they announce a trade, right? So, you know, we need to be more prepared for, okay, if there's a league timeout, you know, that we've got something to talk about. That being said, of course, there's plenty of stuff to talk about, but you want to have graphics prepared to go with whatever we choose to talk about, right? You can't just do that on the fly. You know, and of course, I feel like it's always great to use the draft for what other news and information can we share with fans, because we know the fans that are tuning in are hardcore fans, or they're new fans that are desperate for more information, right? We haven't had any fan content since the expansion draft beginning in November, right? We're not going to have any more live new content until Challenge Cup starts in April, really, right? So it's like, what else can we offer fans? You know, can we give them, you know, what's up with Kansas City? Do they have a name? You know, do we have another expansion team? Are there new things for sale on NativeSellShop.com? You know, highlights from 2020, that kind of stuff. Also explaining the rule changes. That's something I spend a lot of time on. So I was joking, we had a conference call yesterday, all of us, to just kind of go over the rule changes. You know, the league has said, okay, players don't have to declare, right? Because it's just, I'm not going to go into all the details now, but people can listen on the draft broadcast when I explain it. But they were joking. It's I was like, can my graphic say the Gensplainer? I'll just be, you know, the Gensplainer is going, okay, this is this rule and this is why, and this can't happen. And yeah, so it's, again, taking care of the details, tracking the details, and being able to present that information to the fans, right, in a way that they understand, and also in a way that's entertaining. That's why I love that we have more side content, you know. So Jordan won't be able to be on the draft floor anymore, right, because there won't be a draft floor, but she will be doing interviews with people that get picked, right? And you want her to have good questions that are insightful about that particular player, not your generic, how does it feel to be drafted?
Right.
Like you want the good questions. Think about the questions that our national teamers have had to suffer through over the years. Anytime they're kind of suddenly in front of mass media and they're like, how does it feel to win a World Cup? Where it's like, really? That's the best you'd come up with?
Right.
Yeah. Where it's like there's so much to their history and you couldn't Google and get like one little fact, like when Rose Lavelle was drafted number one overall in 2017, you know, I loved being able to say, so Rose, why didn't you bring Wilma to the draft?
Yeah.
You know, her dog that has an Instagram account, right?
Right.
So a big smile from Rose changes her whole demeanor, loosens her up. You hear something different than the cliche of, oh, I'm so proud to be drafted and I can't wait to, you know.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that will be such a meaningful thing this year too, because it is all virtual. I mean, and it's going to be on Twitch, which is so exciting.
So it's free worldwide live, and because it's not part of the convention, doesn't have to be during the day.
Bam.
So it's evening. So that should make many, many people happy.
Yes.
They won't be at work watching on their phone. Hopefully they
sneaking
can be
in a Budweiser just because.
Sitting on the couch, you know, and it could go 4 hours again, right? Like, it's a lot of content, but
yeah.
that's why I want to add as much stuff to it, because like I said, we're not going to have new live NWSL content for another 3 months.
Right. Yeah.
It is still a while before the season kicks off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a viewer, you guys do an amazing job. It's been really fun to watch and again, see it come to life and see it become a production as it deserves to be. And so I'm excited to tune in this year for sure. And just real quick to wrap up a little bit, just, I would love to hear, you know, is there a moment in any of the drafts that really stands out to you as like a really special moment or like a hilarious thing that happened that you'll never forget?
Well, I definitely remember the first draft, you know, we're facing into the light, so we can't really see beyond the lights. And they were grabbing people to use as interviews for us whenever they could, right? If somebody wandered by the draft who would be, you know, a good name to throw up there. So we had no warning on any of these, right? but suddenly somebody would be walking through the lights and they sit down and, you know, like, oh, I'm interviewing Tom Sormani.
Wow.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm interviewing Anson Dorrance. But that was kind of fun and cool and scary, but at the same time, very satisfying that everybody came up there. I knew who they were, right?
Yeah. Imagine if not. Ooh.
It was this confidence builder of like, yes, you were totally the right person for this. And then the funniest part, and again, this is from the first one. So, you know, they have a makeup artist. Of course, we won't have one this year you know, because of COVID, so I'm going to actually have to do my own makeup. But we had like a professional makeup artist, right? And my mom was watching the draft because she was really excited that I was going to be doing this. She called my sister, who was on the West Coast, which meant it was 6 a.m. West Coast time, to say, get up and turn on your computer because your sister is wearing makeup. my sister's like, I can watch it later. Thanks. I don't need to get up at 6 a.m. to watch her wear
makeup. I know. That is so funny.
And it cracks me up that the only time I ever wear hardcore makeup has been for soccer drafts and soccer games, right? The ones of where I would call and you would see us on camera for what, 3 minutes? I'm just like, I have to put on nice clothes and makeup for those 3 minutes? This is so weird.
That's really funny.
But I love that we still, like, you could just wear whatever from the waist down, right? Because you only see the top of us. So I love it. Like, as long as I can wear jeans, cool.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah.
Very true. Well, man, I love just hearing, again, like, the back story and all the production team that's, like, working right now and all this stuff. Just kudos to all of them and excited to watch. Where can people find the draft? Where can they follow you? And we are going to have you back on because there's so much more of what you do that I want to dive into. But this just is perfect timing to talk about the draft. But yeah, where can people find you and draft info?
So draft will be Wednesday, January 13th. Starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. And just go to twitch.tv and find NWSL's channel. And it's free worldwide. I would also check out my website, which is keepernotes.com. I posted an article yesterday that's got basically what picks each team has, recent player moves, a Google sheet that's like a draft worksheet so you can see who has what pick and what they traded to get that pick. And also there's also a link to the history of the draft. So lots of resources. I'm all about keeping the WOSO nerd resources out there. So I would encourage anyone that wants more info to dig around at keepernotes.com. And you can also find my podcast there. It's called The Mix Zone, and that's with two X's because, you know, double X chromosome. Weekly episodes, and I can't believe it, but I've been doing that almost 7 years, and I just recorded last week my 311th episode.
Wow.
And I stick that one out because I always do a WOSO stat at the beginning of each episode, and of course, Christy Rampone had 311 caps for the U.S. Women's National Team. So that's a milestone. The next milestone, of course, will be hitting Christine Lilly's cap, which is the world record. You know, I've got a way to go before I get to 354 podcasts.
That's amazing. I mean, we said it at the beginning, a WOSO encyclopedia. There you go. Evidence right there. Oh, man. Well, so good to chat with you. Thank you again. And we look forward to tuning in live on Wednesday. And yeah, just thanks again. And please come back. We'd love to hear more about what you do and dive into some of those nerdy stats that we all know and love. Well, we don't know, but we love.
Definitely look forward to coming back, Ashley. Happy to talk WOSO anytime.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. Please subscribe to the podcast from wherever you're listening, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform it may be. And if you could, we'd really appreciate you leaving a rating and writing a review. That helps us get more listeners, and the more listeners we've got, the more attention we're giving to the athletes we all love. Thanks for your support, and we'll see you next time.